Hello. If you've been enjoying the Creative Life Storywork podcast, we thought you might be interested in our bonus episode from Blue Cabin, one of the partners on this program. We focus on a project called This Is The Place, and we explore how foster carers, musicians and professionals can use music to support care-experienced babies and children develop relationships with the people in their lives. If you'd like to find out more about Blue Cabin, go to wearebluecabin.com. Enjoy listening. Welcome to this Blue Cabin podcast, where we hear more about a project called This Is The Place. Making music together can help babies and children, even tiny babies who are just a few weeks old, form an attachment with the adults in their lives. That's why Blue Cabin, a charity which aims to improve outcomes for care-experienced children and young people, has partnered with Darlington Borough Council to design a special programme of music making for babies, children and their foster carers in Darlington. In this podcast, we'll learn more about the impact this music making has had on the babies and children, and we'll talk about how foster carers, musicians and professionals can use music to help more care-experienced babies and children develop relationships with the people in their lives. My name is Dawn Williams, and I am an associate at Blue Cabin, one of the partners on this exciting work in the region. I'm absolutely delighted to welcome to our podcast studio Eleanor Mooney and Dr. Ryan Humphrey. Eleanor is a singer, performer and community musician specialising in group vocal work and family learning. She's also a trustee for Blue Cabin and has led the youth music funded Loud and Clear project, making music with care experienced families for Sage Gateshead, or now known as the Glass House, for over 10 years. Dr. Ryan Humphrey is a lecturer in arts and cultural management at the University of Manchester, specialising in community arts and cultural policy. And I also have to say, is a marvellous trustee for Blue Cabin as well. So a really, really warm welcome to both of you this morning to our podcast studio. Hello.
Hello. Hello. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
You're very, very welcome. In a podcast that we did previously, we talked to two of the musicians who've been delivering the programme in Darlington, This Is The Place, Carol and Katie. And I just wanted to frame the whole of this podcast in a quote that Carol gave about the work, and I thought you two could offer some comments on it. So Carol said, "I have experienced the power that music can have on the social and emotional development of children and young people, and in strengthening relationships with their caregivers. Music is a different way to communicate and is a powerful tool for expressing yourself, creating rituals and finding community." I thought that was a lovely, lovely quote that could frame our conversation. And Eleanor, I wondered if you wanted to talk to that just in terms of some of the work that you've been involved with and where it resonates and some examples that might amplify Carol's quote.
I mean, I think she's got it spot on. I think the language Carol's used there is beautiful. And yeah, I she's got it right on. I really enjoyed the word rituals in there, actually. And yeah, just how that resonates in the work that we do, the approach to the sessions that we use at Blue Cabin, and just the ways in which you can take those rituals from the sessions into the home or into any situation, really.
Could you paint us a picture of what we might see, hear and feel in an early music session?
Yes. So within the sessions that Ryan and I have run together, that we've run with Carol, and in our shared approach for family learning across all of the work that we do, there are some similarities. And what you'll see are some really familiar elements. So we always start, you know, supporting Carol's mention of ritual. There's always a welcome, a hello song. There's always a goodbye song and these things to sort of bookend or top and tail the session to give it a real sort of through line of action. So people know that we've started, people know that we've ended, and the importance of everyone's name. Well, usually the under 18s, because we'll be there for a long time. Everybody's name in the hello song, the power of hearing your name, the joy in feeling that, and just feeling how that feels to be acknowledged in a musical way, and for that to happen in the sessions is a really joyful, sometimes very awkward, but a really powerful thing. So there's always similar elements like that. We have really familiar songs that people might know, all the traditional nursery rhymes and things, all the brilliant songs that are used for language acquisition, passing on traditions through the generations, all of those things. And then new songs that each individual musician might enjoy or write or collect or bring from their own childhood, from their own culture, introducing the families to those. And we're also always very open to the children and the adults, the families, bringing whatever songs they would like to do as well. There's so many elements. Ryan and I quite like to call them building blocks, and the sessions can involve one or all of them depending on the mood of the day. And so we have the familiar songs, new songs, action songs that support gross motor skill development and physical expression. So you'll do all things like jumping, spinning, clapping, jumping twice, do all of those things. There's sort of teamwork, so physicalizing the music, feeling the beat in your body, work with lycra, huge stretchy pieces of material, or huge scrunchies. Like I think Carol mentioned it in the last podcast, actually, the scrunchies that go in your hair, but huge ones. And it's all about feeling the pulse together, but working together as a team, lifting it up at the right time, putting it over your head at the right time, all of those kind of feelings. And there's always a chill out section, which is for the adults as much as the kids. Beautiful lullabies, nice and chilled. Depending on the resources in the space, there might be a bit of a glitter ball or a projector or some sort of visual element to support. Yeah, and all of these building blocks can be chosen, ordered, thrown out of the window, depending on what's happening in the space on the day.
Wow. All of those building blocks makes me wonder, and I wonder, Ryan, if you want to speak to it, what are some of the resources or theories that are shared or pedagogy that the artist delivering those sessions needs to have in their toolbox? And I wondered what some of the research is that's supporting that learning that they must have before they can even go into the room to deliver those sessions.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when for those artists, I mean, Eleanor just kind of touched on it really at the end there, is the importance of being responsive in the moment and actually having a toolbox of repertoire that you can bring out and adjust to whatever is happening within the space. And I think one of the things which is really critical about the programs that me and Eleanor used to run, but also the program This Is The Place, is that the musicians that are delivering the session are using a social pedagogical practice underpinning their work. So they're really focusing on trying to develop those relationships with the families, developing those relationships with the children and young people, and really getting to know them and getting to know what their interests are, really building that relationship and being able to use that to steer the sessions. And particularly, you know, we've spoke a little bit there about ritual and the importance of having a structure in a session. And actually for these group of children that we're talking about, particularly at this age, so this kind of 0 to 4 bracket, we know that child development occurs best when children and young people have a structure and routine, that they have an understanding of what is going to happen next, why it might happen next. It enables them to feel secure, it enables them to feel confident, it enables them to feel able to interact and engage with other people. And so particularly for care experienced children, there's a lot of research that highlights actually living within the care system can often be detrimental to children's sense of structure and routine, because, you know, the circumstances that they're living in can rapidly change and there's a lot of different adults within the room. So in actual fact, having knowing that you're coming along to a music session, having an understanding that there is going to be a hello song, that your name will be included in the hello song, knowing who the two music facilitators are delivering the session, knowing that at the end you'll get a goodbye, and knowing that this is a safe environment where you can join in with your carer, that you can sing, that you can interact and engage as much as you want, is so important to facilitate in that sense of structure and routine for those children. So I think they're some of the underpinning theories and kind of reasons why the sessions are probably set up and run in that way to support those developments.
I think it's all about, it's about trust, isn't it? Yeah. It's always something that is high on our, just really high on the values. It's about trust from the organisation that has put the artists in the space. So trusting them, giving them the skills or accepting the skills and experience that they bring, and trusting them to take what's needed on the day without being too prescriptive. It's about the adults trusting us and trusting that we understand the demographic enough to be able to hold the space, to hold it safely, to be able to go with whatever the families might need on the day. It's about the children, just as Ryan said there, trusting the space, that whatever ideas they have, that whatever they might bring on the day will be positively received. And it's just, it just all comes back to that, I think, which is what the social pedagogy underpins. And yeah, I think it's one of the most powerful elements, particularly, I feel, having been an artist in a space like this and also ran projects like this. It's one of the most important things is feeling like you have the trust and support of the organization to do what needs to be done in the session on the day, and just having the confidence in yourself to do that.
It's really like, and you've said the word safe, and it really is about creating those safe spaces, those spaces that, you know, when people are expressing themselves creatively, It can be quite, it can come with kind of a lot of individuality, and with that kind of some concerns about how it might be received or what that might mean. And I think one of the things which the programmes do so well is that they create those safe, hospitable environments that are critical to any form of community music project, that enable individuals to feel relaxed when they come in the space.
And could, because I'm really interested in that term, safe spaces, what might be some of the questions that the musicians are asking themselves before the session starts about what are the considerations that they're having when setting up that space before the children and the adults have even stepped into them? What are some of the things that would be thought about or put in place?
So thinking about it as like kind of, I think there's sort of the physical element of that, and then there's like the decisions about the culture within the sessions. And so for me, the most powerful thing is the social pedagogical tool of the three P's, which I know is super important to Blue Cabin as well. And so the personal, professional and private. And we're, you know, the work we do is all about building meaningful relationships. And that means between the artists and the families, as well as strengthening the relationships with the families themselves. And we understand that, you know, there's a really powerful thing about sharing things about yourself that you're happy to share, and having really consciously thinking about that maybe before you go into the session. What are the elements about yourself and your experience and your family setup or your musical experience that you are happy to share when you're in the space, and you're making connections with the families that are there and trying to help them feel comfortable, but ensuring that you remain comfortable in the space as well. So really thinking about that, but also just having that constant reflection. So when you are in conversations that you can't plan for, you know, that you feel really happy with the things you're choosing to share, and that you're happy with that sort of shared knowledge between you and the families. And yeah, I think the most successful connections that I've experienced in this work are when you really find a common ground in a place that is, you know, maybe separate from the music or adds to the common third of the music, but both of you are happy sharing and you have that extra human connection there. And it's just a really powerful thing. So I think really considering the three P's and how much you're going to bring to the session is a big consideration. Yeah.
Yeah. And I also would add, because one of the things which is really unique about the project that we're talking about is the fact that it is dual facilitated. And actually, there has to be said, there is something about building the relationship with the person that you're co-facilitating with as well before the session. So even before anybody enters the room, having the space, having that 30 minutes to just sit down with the person you're working with and just reflect together on maybe what happened last week. What do you think, you know, what do we need to think about for this week? And just building those human relationships with one another is important, because, you know, you're working as a team.
When the artists, musicians are considering the repertoire, the content, it'll all depend on their favourite songs, what they think the people in the session might enjoy, any sort of points of interest. I know that lots of musicians and artists, including Ryan and I, have written many songs on the hoof about somebody's particular favourite programme or favourite fruit they've got that week or whatever, and just really, really consciously thinking about that, but also leaving a lot of space for all of the responsive elements that we hope to bring into these sessions to make them as bespoke and responsive as possible. Ryan, is there anything you'd like to say about that?
No, I don't think so. I just think in terms of repertoire as well, it's been really conscious of the history of the repertoire as well that is being used and how that might come across. Particularly at the moment, there's kind of a lot of discussions around early years repertoire and its origins and history. So being really cautious about how we navigate that in the sessions. But as Elna said, it's really thinking about what might, you know, that responsive element is so important to the work.
Mm-hmm. And the power of bringing brand new things to, you know, particularly to the care experience communities, and bringing new songs that might be new to both of them that can belong to them and have no history for them, and just bring a brand new experience for them. And that doesn't have to, I'm not talking about writing an original song every week, but just thinking about what the musicians might have in their musical experience that they might bring to sort of gift for the families, to be a brand new thing that is just for them. There's some beautiful impact from that as well. And physically, you can make music anywhere. You can make music anywhere. And there are, you know, we've all had experience leading really important, impactful, magical sessions in your traditional community hall or church hall or whatever. And they are some of my favourite spaces, particularly if they're covered in bunting and there's tea and coffee, you know. And there's real power in that, particularly if it's in a local community, if it feels familiar, if it's something that the families might get used to. They might get used to being there. They might attend birthday parties there, and that sort of feeling about it being a community venue, that's for everybody. And there's huge power in having it in maybe slightly grander cultural venues or similar, like Theatre Hullabaloo or the Glass House, correct name, and sort of really demystifying those spaces. And maybe not demystifying, just sort of really, really bringing those spaces to these families. I've got two small children of my own, and there are a lot of assumptions you can make about where children are welcome and where they are appropriate, and where it's sort of, oh, you don't want to ruin anyone's day if your kid has a bad one and you've taken them to a very fancy cafe in a music venue or whatever. But actually, it's so important that people feel entitled to these spaces like they do community halls. And so holding these weekly sessions where they, you know, their children are actively welcomed, they bring them into these spaces, they understand, they have this regular experience of just the regular connection with venues like this. And, you know, we found in the longer term work that Ryan and I have undertaken that people do feel more confident and more entitled to enter these grander, potentially more intimidating, but maybe neither of those things. Maybe it didn't occur to people that you could take kids to things like, to places like that, or there would be appropriate things for things like that. And just when we're thinking about building people's confidence and entitlement and their identity as musical or any art form, just artists in general, and that it is for them, that holding, if we're able to have these sessions in beautiful cultural venues, then there's a lot of power in that as well.
Yeah, because that power can stretch. So, like, you know, if those people have the opportunity to engage in that institute and really see themselves and feel at home within that institute, there is probably a likelihood, and there is research that kind of suggests that that is going to lead to a longer term engagement with that institution and with the art form. And it's going to make them going to reinforce that idea that actually everybody is creative. Everybody should have the right to be creative. It is a human right. And therefore, these early stages, these early moments of musical engagement can lay the foundations for lifelong musical engagement.
Really interesting. You're talking about the spaces where music making happens. The other important people in the sessions for This Is The Place are the adults, trusted adults with the babies. And I wondered, these approaches in This Is The Place, how does that support music making when you go back to the home? Have you had any feedback from the participants from This Is The Place about what happens in the living rooms, in the kitchens, in the bathrooms, what happens in the home?
We know from past research, we know from the evaluation from This Is The Place, the stories that are coming out already, is that actually having these opportunity to engage in arts and culture, in music making with those children, actually increases the carers' engagement in music as well. And actually, through the process of engaging in the project, they actually start to see themselves as musicians and actually start developing some musical skills or enhancing their musical skills that they already had. They start to develop their knowledge of new songs, new repertoire, how it can be adapted for situations. They might even, you know, in some projects in the past, we've run ukulele sessions to support them to develop playing the ukulele so that they can use the songs at home. So in actual fact, the carers get just as much musical engagement and musical development as the children do. But I think one of the most important things that comes out really for the carers in this project is that opportunity to socialise with other people who are in similar situations to themselves. I think because the project is set up, because it employs that social pedagogical approach where the music making is definitely a key feature of the work, but in actual fact is not any more important than the opportunity to socialise, the facilitators enable a space, an opportunity for carers to interact with one another through a break time, and they develop support networks. And that is, and that becomes more important in many respects, because that is where they feel that they can have those conversations with one another that potentially they can't have it in other, you know, toddler groups or other groups that they may attend, because it may not be understood. So I think there is that musical development that's really important and musical impact. But actually, I think for the carers, that it is that opportunity to socialise that becomes really, really important and often leads to the longevity of actually attending the project as well.
I think there's something just absolutely that, and the support, the invaluable support you get from peer support, from being in spaces with people where you don't have to explain so many things until you find that common ground. And then also their individual confidence, you know, identifying themselves as musical, like Ryan says, identifying music as something that is for them and that they can do. And also there's something about the sessions, because they are so singing based and vocal and about language acquisition and all those things for young people. But the empowerment that comes from the adults expressing themselves vocally. And, you know, a lot of the work, I lead a lot of group singing with adults, and a lot of the work that I'm doing there is undoing brutal music teachers from their childhood who've told them to mime or stand at the back or, you know, all of that. And, you know, I'm a full believer that pretty much anybody can sing. But seeing them get the empowerment of using their voices like that, and I know that Carol and Katie have talked about, you know, even in these first couple of terms of This Is The Place, that adults are bringing ideas of songs they want to do and teaching them to the musicians. And, you know, that's such evidence of confidence and safe space and support and trust and all of those things. And Ryan and I have heard stories about foster carers who, you know, music just wasn't a thing for them, and now they sing all the way around the supermarket. And it's, you know, and rather than the supermarket being, I mean, it's always going to be a bit of a struggle with small children, but they're singing all around, and they don't care that people can hear them singing, because they understand why, and they've had it validated, and they know it works, and they, you know, and they feel empowered, and they feel confident, and they feel they can do it in public or down the street. Or, and that for me is just the one of the most beautiful things, that they will sing in public spaces and not give two about it.
How lovely, singing in supermarkets. And my final question, I know both of you are doing some work with Carol and Katie for This Is The Place, and I just wondered, what are the next steps for This Is The Place? What will we hear next from This Is The Place?
I'm really excited to see Carol and Casey are creating a video. So a film, a beautiful video, which is all about using some of the elements of This Is The Place. So there's funding to share song bags with all of the families, which have a shaker, scraper, tapper, all the things we might use in sessions and other added joy. And they've also, the absolute legends, have recorded an album of This Is The Place's greatest hits. And so Carol and Casey are creating a beautiful film, which will include using the song bags, using the album, which will be available to stream for all of the families, and sharing all of these benefits that we've been talking about and more, just which can be watched in the home, can be shared with anyone, can be shared with the families, can be shared with partners. And I am really excited about the creation of that and seeing that.
I think in terms of what I'm looking forward to seeing, so my side of connection to This Is The Place is on the evaluation side. So I'm really looking forward to seeing the stories, seeing the impacts, and really hearing about the fantastic work that Katie and Carol are doing. Already there's so many fantastic stories coming out that where we can really see the impact that engaging in music making can have. So I'm looking forward to seeing how that continues to develop.
Eleanor and Ryan, thank you so much for your time here this morning. I can't wait to hear the stories either of This Is The Place.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
You're very, very welcome. You can find out more about This Is The Place and download some of the music and songs at wearebluecabin.com. You can also get in touch with Blue Cabin on LinkedIn and on X, formerly Twitter, at wearebluecabin. Please do get in touch though with any comments or questions, as we'd really love to hear from you. If your podcast app allows you to do so, please take a moment to rate or review our show. It really helps others to find the podcast. Bye for now.